Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hear this intro, Jones? It's over. That's it.
Yep. Hey. Heard it. Yep.
Just a tiny little bit, you know? We get right into the show here. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Adam Jones in for Zoe and Beetle today. I don't know if you ever hear the Adam Jones show at night. The intro lasts about 4.5 minutes. You got Counting Crows.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the host before you shuts his computer off every day, so sometimes you need a little extra time to run into the other studio and turn it back on.
Oh,
because
he's special, isn't he?
Because the gentleman who sits at that computer there, Hardy, doesn't always know that there's a host after him that has to come in and host the program.
Doesn't know that there's anyone on this earth other than him?
Right, yes. Right. Okay. Yeah. So he likes to shut his computer off every day, and then we all run around with chickens with our heads cut off, getting things ready. So we need a longer intro on the night show.
I'm not prone to pity. I have more respect for people than to feel sorry for them, but I felt a little bit sorry for you last night. Last night, I felt sorry for you.
Because I was stuck with my wife watching The Bachelor, is that why?
Because you were home and not where you wanted to be, taking the microphone in your hands and beginning your program with a recap of that Red Sox press conference yesterday.
It was fun.
So this is an opportunity for you, Adam Jones. Now, McCone and I were here yesterday, and we listened to a good portion of it live and reacted to it afterward and took some phone calls. But you, Adam Jones, of all people, if anybody wants to hear, and it was one of those moments. Yesterday would have been one of those moments I would have either left my radio on or turned it on at 6 to hear what Adam Jones had to say.
Like 6:10.
Well, after the intro.
Yeah.
After the intro.
Uh-huh.
To hear what you had to say about that press conference yesterday. And first and foremost, it kind of took me by surprise. I was expecting a Tuesdays with Maury situation at the picnic table, right?
Yeah. Well, what happened to those things?
Well, there's too much. There was too much, and they understood that there was a lot of questions to be answered, and they wanted to get out in front of this stuff a little bit, you know, to borrow from John Henry, not allow the Dan Shaughnessys of the world and their dishonest assessment of the Red Sox. Well,
if you think Shaughnessy's dishonest.
Well, Shaughnessy, according to John Henry, not honest about Red Sox issues. Mm. John Henry is. So here's a chance for them to go out there and be honest and to put everything out there on the line, starting with that John Henry preamble. But Adam, I assume that you listened to it either as it was happening or shortly thereafter.
Sure.
What were your thoughts, starting with that John Henry preamble?
Well, I don't get why everybody's knocking John Henry so much today. Because I think the best way to be honest and genuine and heartfelt is to read directly off a sheet for, a good 4 or 5 minutes, just to consecutively kind of read your thoughts, get them down the way you really feel them to be, with no outside help,
it
right?
It probably spoke to you because the amount of time he spent reading that was the same time as your intro.
It was a little shorter. I said maybe drag it out a little bit more here, John, if you could.
Mr. Jones. Yep. Adam Pac-Man Jones was arrested downtown today.
Yeah, then there's another song.
So that it spoke to you like on a molecular level. Wow, this sounds like home.
Yes. Okay. And it's just, I think the best way to get your emotions out is to write them down ahead of time with lots of help from other people. You can't say that, John. You can't say this. Make sure you work in a Stan Musial reference. Don't forget about Nomar Garciaparra. Like, all of it seemed very off the cuff and genuine. And I don't get why he's getting raked over the coals today, because I think John Henry sometimes unfairly gets criticized as, you know, this pale automaton. And I don't think that's a fair thing. I think yesterday he emoted. And when the man emotes, you got to give him credit. And I think that's what he did yesterday. So pale automaton, how dare you?
What was at what point in that preamble, in his prepared statement, spoke to you the most? Was it the Stan the man going to Mexico? Was it the comparison to the Nomar trade, which was spot on by many people's assessments? Yep. It's like, yep, it's the exact same thing.
Nomar just like Mookie. I said, can't believe I haven't thought of that. We've been doing radio and talking about this for how long? Can't believe that analogy.
Teams are in the exact same spots.
Right. Like the Mutual one I got, like the Stan Mutual one, that one I had a bit of a blind spot for. The Nomar one should have been right up my alley, and I missed it. So shame on me. But no, I love the Stan Mutual reference because, you know, that again, that takes you back to John Henry at one point was a child. He was a child that, you know, just loved the game of baseball. And you can tell how much he loves the game of baseball these days, can't you? Where he treats it like a bottom line business. It's not about the love of the game anymore for him. And he sometimes needs to get back to his roots. And I think yesterday was a day for him to get back to his roots and remember that, yeah, it's about a little bit more than bottom line and a little bit more than just, you know, making sure your wife has a nice pair of shoes. It's about the baseball. And I think that's what John Henry wants to get back to.
I did find it a curious decision by the Red Sox to release the statement
word for word
after he wrote it because, you're not impressed with John Henry's performance yesterday.
No.
I did think, though, how they could have gotten away with it because I thought his delivery was okay until you release it word for word and realize, oh, all of this was, in fact, just a prepared statement.
So I will acknowledge that I didn't see it live, so I went back and watched a lot of it. I did read the statement before I saw the full thing, okay? So I already knew it was written down, but you could tell he was reading. Just like Chaim Bloom, when they announced the trade the other day, was reading. You could tell. I would agree that if you didn't know any better and you weren't paying super close attention to it, Henry had a pretty good, you know, feel for when to look up and make a little bit of eye contact. He wasn't just face down in the sheet. But no, that was all prepared, and it was all probably, crowdsourced and vetted with other members of the organization. I doubt he wrote all of it. I doubt he wrote a majority of it. And so, no, they tried to come up with, you know, some different formula where they figured they could appease the biggest portion of the fan base. And I think, like the Red Sox, when they try to get overly analytical, they failed spectacularly, which is what they do these days, apparently.
Yeah, and again, he starts off, and we kind of missed out on this yesterday. McCone touched on it a little bit, but you know, when he brought up Stan Musial,
yep,
and he brought up the way your parents and grandparents felt about Ted Williams and Yaz, you know, these are all players that whose services were retained by either the Cardinals.
Yeah, it seems like a blind spot there.
Or the Red Sox.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
you shouldn't really necessarily invoke those players. Nomar, okay. Nomar, at least there exists the correlation between trading both players.
Right, yeah.
But you bring up these other guys, these beloved players who you loved, or your parents loved, your grandparents loved, they're still thought of as either Cardinals or Red Sox because the teams held on to him.
Yeah.
And a different era and obviously, different ramifications in terms of, you know, salaries and free agency. And I get all that. But that's a dangerous road to go down when you bring up Ted Williams. That what uniform do you picture Ted Williams in?
Red Sox. I normally think of Red Sox. I wavered there for a minute, but I normally think of Red Sox.
Why bring him up with the player that you just traded? You know, you're trying to invoke some emotion and some, you know, emotional connection with the fans and how they're feeling about Mookie. Don't bring up guys that teams, even if they didn't have to bend over backwards to keep, they still kept them.
Yeah. I like the Stan Musial point that he made too. Cause again, John Henry at one point was a little boy who liked baseball. Now he just cares about, you know, counting money. But at one point, he was a little boy who liked baseball and liked the St. Louis Cardinals, which was a nice job of reminding everybody that he's not even from here and has no loyalty to this team, nor you as fans. He's just some carpetbagger who comes in and makes money off of you. So that was a good reminder from him, I thought. But at one point, he did like baseball and like the Cardinals. That Stan Musial story, where he almost went to Mexico, you know what the Cardinals did? They gave him a raise. They paid him, and they kept him, and they gave him a raise. They paid the talented player Stan Musial $5,000. Don't ask me what that would correlate to these days. I can't do the math on the inflation. But $5,000 back in 1946, or whatever it was, I'm sure was a hefty little sum. They gave him a raise, and they kept him. What a novel concept. You could have done that with Mookie Betts. And instead, they didn't stand by him. They didn't give him a raise. They chose to trade him to another team and let him go sign elsewhere. So, yeah, horrible analogy. Another horrible analogy.
I would caution you, Adam Jones, against the term carpetbagger.
Why?
Because in the strictest definition of the term, it's someone from a northern state who goes south to ply their trade. Let's not bring up where you're from and where you are now.
That's a good point.
I mean, did you travel north to get here? Did you travel east or west?
No, Vermont is south. About 3.5 hours drive as the crow flies. Yeah,
3.5 hours due north from here is where you came from,
yep,
sir.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
So
easy
with that.
It's a good point.
Easy.
Good point. Trying to throw around terms, get everybody off the scent of me over here.
Right.
And meanwhile, I've exposed myself.
Yes, yep. Yes.
Yeah,
well,
fair,
or I exposed you for everyone else.
Yeah.
I wonder if after yesterday, John Henry, Sam Kennedy, Tom Warner got together and said,
good job, guys.
Good job.
pass the O'Douls. We've done it.
They didn't get a chance to, from what I heard, you know, from the 25 minutes that McCone sat here and I sat here and listened to it live, they didn't get a chance to talk about anything other than Mookie Betts, David Price. I mean, there was very little going on, a little bit on Verdugo. They tried to talk about the return that they got,
yep,
and the significant value and the significant return that they got for these players. But all the questions were about the money, the management of a couple of contracts leading up to it. Big credit to Sean McAdam for not letting him off the hook on that. And that's what they had to do. They had to sit there yesterday and talk about it. Did they answer any of the questions to your satisfaction? Do you think they answered any of the questions to the Red Sox fans' satisfaction?
Nothing. Not one. Tomasi wrote about this in NBC Sports Boston. I think it's a good point. If you're gonna do all this, there is a way to defend it, but you got to tell the truth. Like, if you really want to get under the luxury tax, the CBT, if you really want to get under that, that is a viable business decision, right? And you need to replenish your farm system. Those are viable things. Like, I don't think they're popular, but that is a defensible position as a baseball team. Look, the Dodgers got under the luxury tax. The Yankees got under the luxury tax. They have better farm systems. We need to rebuild our farm system. We felt like we're at a point where we need to take a step back to take a step forward. Just say that. Just take some ownership of it. But they're so afraid to say that and be unpopular, which is ridiculous because they're wildly unpopular right now, but they're so afraid to say that and make themselves more unpopular that they wind up doing what they did yesterday, which was just an absolute, you know, cluster bleep.
All right, I want to go point by point through a couple of moments of this press conference, not only from John Henry, but Tom Warner, some of the things they said. And again, give you the chance that you didn't have last night to react to this. And
I was doing it in front of the mirror last night at home is what I was
doing. Were you practicing?
Yep. I was working on my stuff, John Henry style, writing them down.
Do you rehearse in front of the baby vulture?
No. I try to stay away from him at all times.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So we'll do that as we continue, and we'll take your calls, 617-779-0985. It's Hardy, Jones, McCone in for Zolak and Bertrand.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the count of three, I want everybody in the place to be to make some noise if you're down with me. 1, 2, 3.
Good morning.
Hit me with the horn, 20.
Do we have speakers?
Keep making noise. Keep making noise.
This morning, I'd like to begin by... Can you all hear me? No? 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 No?
Here we go now! Here we go!
No? Can you all hear me? This morning, before answering your questions, and can you all hear me?
Somebody make some noise in this joint, man!
No? We don't have... Do we have speakers?
That was, I think that was the energy that John Henry brought to that press conference yesterday. That sums it up pretty well.
The most honest part of the press conference.
As I ironically clear my throat, it's Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Adam Jones, Tim McConan. Yesterday's JetBlue Park press conference, John Henry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, all representing the Red Sox, answering questions, kind of. With regard to the Red Sox offseason moves, the trade of Mookie Betts, David Price, John Henry started with a long opening statement, which the Red Sox, for some reason, reprinted word for word, taking away any semblance of spontaneity or heartfelt emotion, which is fine if you want to get it out there, but it affords us the opportunity to kind of go through it line by line and say, really, the challenging offseasons. Did this have to be a challenging offseason? He talked about the challenging offseason, how they've had them before. To me, this was the first red flag that went up because I don't know that this offseason needed to be all that challenging to begin with.
No, not at all. You had a not a great team. You had a team that underachieved last year, yes. Right, which we all agree with. So a few minor tweaks here, a few minor tweaks there. You're not going to go back to winning 108 games, you know, unless you start stealing pitches again. You're not going to go back to winning 108 games, but they shouldn't have been that far away from getting back to the postseason. Really just a healthy Chris Sale, a healthier Chris Sale, if you brought the team back, should have had this team in the postseason. So the only reason it's a trying offseason is out of something that you've done, you've decided to do, which is save money.
And you could argue, as McCone did yesterday, you could put it all off until the trade deadline and set yourself up for a challenging trade deadline. But why not at least take it for a spin with Mookie Betts on the team and David Price on the team up until that point? See where you are. See if you are still underachieving to the point that you did last year and do something then.
I know the package that's centered around a guy with a broken back is a lot to hold the phone
tough
with.
Tough to pass on.
Yeah. I still think that that's probably the best solution if you want to make this move. And it's not simply for CBT purposes, which they clearly said yesterday it's not.
Yeah, look, I think if you made the trade in season and, you know, if it were a baseball decision, you could have made this in season because it's a financial decision. They had to make it when they did, or just about when they did. I think they would have gotten roughly the same return. So, I don't know. I hear the Yankees analogy all the time with resetting the luxury tax, the CBT. I think comparing the Red Sox situation to the Yankees is so stupid. I mean, it's not inaccurate. The Yankees dip below the luxury tax, but they really are apples and oranges because the Yankees got rid of a couple of relievers and they did it at the trade deadline when they knew they were out of it. The Red Sox are punting on an entire season and traded a former MVP. So those are not analogous. Those are not the same thing. The Yankees dip below the luxury tax by trading off Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman. And by the way, they got Chapman back. The Red Sox traded away their MVP and punted on 2020. So those are not the same thing. And I don't like comparing the two to one another, to be honest.
No. Talking about what they got back and whether or not you could have gotten, say, a second baseman that you might see in a year, a catcher that you'll never see.
Just a player with a healthy back. And
a player with a healthy back right now. Did they get, as John Henry said yesterday, substantial value or significant value for this deal?
McCone?
No.
No. Is there anyone out there? And I understand. At least you got something for him. Did you really get? And of course, we don't know. With prospects, of course, that's the understood. We don't know. But for Mookie Betts, even a season of Mookie Betts, and consider also what you're giving up in David Price, whom I have no personal love for, but he got a lifetime pass from me in this town after the way he performed in the 2018 bowl.
A lifetime pass?
He got a lifetime pass from me.
I've never seen someone more disgusted in my life than Jones just was right there.
A lifetime pass?
Yeah. He got a pass.
I didn't even give him a pass that offseason. A lifetime pass?
Lifetime pass. He was the only one who showed up consistently in a starting role. Nathan Eovaldi.
Last year?
No, in 2018. He got the pass after how he performed
he
in the postseason.
He stunk the first round and a half of the 2018 playoffs. I say this all the time. They won the World... They couldn't have won the World Series without David Price. They could have got there without him. They basically got there without him. He had two crummy starts, and then he came back in Game 6 when they were already up 3-1.
And
lifetime pass.
He got a pass from me for how he performed in the postseason in 2018.
Hang that on your fridge, David.
So I have no personal feelings about the man, but in terms of a reliable starter in this rotation for 2020,
sure,
he's unfortunately the guy. Maybe Eduardo Rodriguez, you could make a case. And think about what I just said. Eduardo Rodriguez might be the most reliable starter that you have right now. But if it's not him, it's David Price. So considering what you gave up, did you get any kind of value?
No.
Any kind of return?
No. Like, I'm only going to give them credit for Verdugo. Like, I don't even know that I'm going to give them credit for Downs and Wong. I don't even know that they get credit for that. The guy they wanted is now a Dodger, Graterol. So it really comes down to Verdugo. How do you feel about him, by the way, Hardy? How do you feel about Alex Verdugo?
Well,
which, again, in some ways, the Red Sox are lucky that so much of the press conference yesterday focused on the trade and the CBT and everything else and not on the specifics with Verdugo. Because Alex B reported over the weekend another team backed away from Alex Verdugo. And the Red Sox said, and because of off-field issues, because of the incident in 2015, another team backed away. And the Red Sox said, no, we're good. Oh, and by the way, he's got a bad back. And he's not going to be ready for opening day. How do you feel about him? Because that's basically what the trade boils down to.
Again, personally, I do not feel good about Alex Verdugo. I would rather not have him on a team in my town and be forced into a situation where I have to root for a person.
Well, that's a substantial return.
It's substantial problem enough to where, as you just said, another team passed on him. Yeah, it's a combination of that situation that he feels badly about himself for,
yep,
that he has to answer for it.
Well,
that pesky broken back of his, another team backed out of a deal that would have landed them Verdugo. So no, I do not feel good at all about having Verdugo here.
All right. Well, so then that's three no's on Verdugo.
So the substantial
and, the return,
and significant value.
Cross those off.
Yep. Yeah.
Nonsense. Challenging offseason. Nonsense.
Yeah, lop that right off. Yeah.
Didn't have to be challenged. Okay, we mentioned the Nomar trade earlier. Is that a comp? Is that a comparable? The Mookie Betts and David Price to the Dodgers? And again, we're not here just to kill the Red Sox necessarily.
Well, that's why I came in this morning.
Is there any comparison to be drawn between the two?
I mean, early career Nomar would have been a good comp. Nomar in 2004, who hated the media, hated Boston, hated his teammates, and I think the city largely hated him back at that point. You know, for sitting out that game in New York where Derek Jeter ran 50 feet into the stands. And when I say ran 50 feet, I mean caught the ball, then ran 50 feet and dove head first into the stands, showing up Nomar in the process. I think basically the whole city was out on him. So Mookie Betts is popular here. Mookie Betts was an MVP, which Nomar in his early career was an MVP candidate. He was never an MVP. Nomar never won crap. So, no, I mean, early career Nomar might have been a good comp. That was a popular player and a really good player. Nomar in 2004 is a horrible comparison, a horrible analogy. Cross that off. Yeah.
Cross that one off.
Yep. You're running out of ink?
I got another pen.
Nice.
Let's move on to Tom Werner here. And Jim, I should have asked for this before. I don't know if we have this available. But there was a point in the press conference when Tom Werner was speaking where he mentioned the players they got in return. And I don't know if it's fair to say that he was preemptively throwing Chaim Bloom under the bus.
Oh, I heard this.
But there was a section when Werner spoke yesterday where it was the first time, I believe, they really referenced anything other than the three guys sitting up there talking about us, talking about the way we do it, talking about these players. This was the first mention I remember of Chaim Bloom, and it raised a red flag.
You know, obviously, this is young talent who we have a lot of optimism for. My understanding is that hopefully he'll be playing very shortly after this. Alex will be playing very shortly after the season starts. But we've acquired talent that will be under club control for, I think, 17 years. And I think that we have to wait and see whether or not the evaluations of Haim and our baseball people are accurate. But I've talked to a lot of people outside this organization who are very enthusiastic about the talent that we've received.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just have the undercurrent of Jones. Uh-oh.
Like, he's got to know his days are numbered, right? Him? Like that guy. Yeah, he can't go back to Tampa fast enough. This is what the real world is like, Chaim. This is what the real world of baseball is like. Not Tampa where nobody cares. We'll see if he's right. Yikes.
We'll take these backwards. Hopefully Chaim Bloom is right in the evaluations of these players.
Yeah.
Chaim, did you buy or are you renting?
Yeah.
What have you done so far?
Yeah. Also, he already was wrong. Don't we already know Chaim Bloom was wrong? They had to rip up the trade. They had to give back the fat kid. So already we know Chaim Bloom was wrong. We already know he was wrong. So now, hopefully he was wrong. Hopefully he's right. He was wrong.
I think Gratterall is heavy for his height.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's fair to call him a fat kid.
Plus, he's
21-year-old who's already had Tommy John and a bad shoulder that forced him to throw a total of, I think, 10 pitches last year. I don't know that it's kind.
The fat kid wasn't nice. I will go back to referring to him how I referred to him on the night of the trade, which is as Bruce Dart ate it all, is how I was referring to him. So that's I'll go back to that. Already we know that Chaim Bloom was incorrect and wrong. So, hopefully you are renting Chaim.
We'll do the other two parts of that statement. We'll have to listen to it again, please, Jim, coming back. So just rack that if you don't mind. We'll listen to Tom Werner's comment there because a lot to unpack, as we like to say.
Yeah, it was a bit of a buckshot answer.
we'll do that. After Tim McCone's Hub headlines here at Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Adam Jones filling in.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
You know, obviously, this is young talent who we have a lot of optimism for. My understanding is that hopefully he'll be playing very shortly after this. Alex will be playing very shortly after the season starts. But we've acquired talent that will be under club control for, I think, 17 years. And I think that we have to wait and see whether or not the evaluations of Haim and our baseball people are accurate. But I've talked to a lot of people outside this organization who are very enthusiastic about the talent that we've received.
Yeah, that last part there, I don't doubt that for a second. I'm sure members of the Yankees organization,
yep,
Blue Jays, someone from Toronto, said they were very excited about the return on that.
I'm sure the Dodgers really talked it up. That's how you talk the Red Sox into doing the deal in the first place. You ever made a fantasy trade? Look, you're getting a better deal than I am over here. I'm the idiot. I'm just trying to fill out my roster and balance my roster out. You're actually getting a great return over there.
Orioles, Rays, all on board.
Yep.
They thumbs up. You did the right thing.
Love what you guys are doing.
Yes.
Good hire with Haim.
So that doesn't surprise me, or I don't doubt that part for a second, but some of the other comments there. It's Hardy and Jones filling in for Zolak and Bertrand here. So we already went over the commentary about Haim Bloom, and hopefully his evaluations are correct.
Yeah, which they're not, but yeah. We already have definitive proof they're not. They had to rip up his trade, but sure, okay. Hopefully this trade 2.0, his decision making is accurate. Yeah.
Yes. So it remains to be seen, as it always is the case with prospects.
Mm-hmm.
The other part that Werner spoke about there is hopefully Verdugo is ready to go sometime after the regular season begins.
Shortly.
Shortly.
Hopefully he's ready shortly after the season begins.
I mean,
it's a little wishy-washy.
We asked Dan Roach about it yesterday, and I said, you know, the timeline, and part of this was Dan having to leave Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, oh.
Right.
I don't know the timeline. I don't know. Because
it's dragging a kid away from Disney World. You know?
He didn't even get to go to Disney. He got to come right back.
Well, he kind of did, though.
Well, his Disney.
Baseballs.
Right.
You got to see hitting some fungos.
But plenty of good seats,
yep.
Apparently.
Yeah. Oh, the best seat. He got the best seat this year.
He
got to watch Ron Reneke play Pepper. It's a good time. Good trip.
Hopefully he's ready to go shortly after the regular season begins. Do baseball players ramp up right away? Do they just show up and then take the field and play? Or do they need a little more coddling? They need a lot of stretching time and, you know, get things loose and ready to go. I don't know. How's it work with baseball players?
On the one hand, they certainly take a long time in spring training, but I don't know. Given the conditioning of some of them, I feel like they could roll right in the middle of the year.
Okay, so if Verdugo only begins baseball activities at that point, it could be a while.
My point is, when
you leave it open-ended like that, it could be a while.
How about this? When a spin master like Tom Werner is up there saying, hopefully he's back shortly after the season begins, that means book him to miss like a month. Book him to miss a month, 6 weeks, 2 months. Like, hopefully shortly, that's the best he could do. Werner's not even pretending he's going to be back for opening day. Hopefully he's back shortly after opening day. If that's the best he can cook up, he's going to miss a month or two. At least.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Then when he comes back, who knows?
These players are under control for 17 years. Did you do any Jones math on that? Did you have a chance to figure out?
I heard Wallach and Rich talking about this morning.
Okay.
I believe, in fact, I'm convinced what he was saying there, and I think, I don't get why it matters or why anyone cares, but what he's saying is the three of them combined, they have 17 years of control.
That was my guess yesterday, McCone. That's what I said. I said combined, they'll have a combined 17 years of control among these players.
Yeah, that was some interesting math there. That was some Felger and Maz math, as they said.
Well,
No, he's right. Because Verdugo's got 1 year in.
Yeah. But I was going to say, isn't that almost a bad thing? You should have eight. If they're all prospects, you should have 18 years of control. Well, so already they're 1 year behind because Verdugo's already blown 1 year.
For a catcher who's never going to play in the major leagues, I guess you have like unlimited control
That's
over
That's a good
it,
point.
Yeah. Right? I don't think anybody's drooling over, you know, other organizations are drooling over the 6 years of control you have for the double A catcher. Yeah. I don't think.
Woo Sox 2021, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So there's that. All of this leads to, I guess, the biggest point in the press conference yesterday between Henry and Kennedy and Werner was when Sean McAdam, and it was Dan Shaughnessy, I believe, who first kind of like questioned him on it, and then it was McAdam after that who said, you know, well, what about this trade? You know, you guys are talking about the luxury tax and all this stuff, and they said a couple of times, and Jim, maybe we can hear, you know, McAdam's back and forth here, which was very good, when they reiterated the goal, not the mandate, about getting under the luxury tax threshold.
It's a factor. It's not the only factor. That sort of discussion.
And there was a little bit of discrepancy on the timeline in terms of, you know, when it was supposed to be done and who said what when. And Dan Shaughnessy and John Henry had a bit of a back and forth in an email where, you know, Dan brought something up and John said, well, unlike you, I'm honest about the team's issues. And
ooh.
I just, you know, I wonder if...
Zing!
Burn. I burned you a good one there, Dan.
Ooh, I burned you like me out on the yacht without any lotion.
The goal, not the mandate.
Linda, fetch the lotion.
Does it matter if it was a goal or a mandate when you accomplished the goal? I mean... Or you treated it as a mandate, which apparently they did.
I think Chaim Bloom thought it was a mandate.
This was an important, you know, this is an important distinction for the Red Sox front office. I don't know that it's all that important for Red Sox fans because you did it.
Yeah, right. Whether it was a goal or a mandate, either way, it's done. So now it's done. I think what they could hide behind if they say it's a goal is it's a baseball decision. But we all know this wasn't a baseball decision. Like who in their right minds thinks this is a baseball decision? So again, I think you could defend the long-term thinking of a baseball decision if they just owned it. I would disagree with it, but at least they'd be honest. They can't even bring themselves to do that.
Is there any way they could have approached that thing yesterday and gone out and said things honestly? It's not going to make people happy. And I will give John Henry credit for saying that. you know, saying that many of you, particularly our youngest fans, are disbelieving or angry or sad about it. I know it's difficult and disappointing. That's, I mean, that is a true statement, and that is...
Besides the fact that they have young fans, yeah. The sport and that team don't have any young fans. So besides that lie, yes, I get what you're saying.
They had any young fans, that was a legitimate statement that he made.
Well, unless he's talking about like 40-year-olds, that's probably the young fan on their scale.
Is there anything else they could have said yesterday that would have been honest, that would have been acceptable commentary? Not necessarily to make people happy, but you, in their position... You would have gotten up and said what?
I already said this. I Tomasi wrote about this at NBC Sports Boston, and I think it's a good point. You just got to own what you did. It is defensible to reset the payroll. I don't agree with it, but to say, look, we're going to reset the payroll and replenish the farm system. We weren't gonna retain Mookie Betts. Like, we weren't sure we were going to retain Mookie Betts. We were afraid we'd lose him for nothing. So you just have to come out and be honest. And I think those are all real factors for them. Now, again, they wouldn't be popular.
What does that mean for this year?
Well, I mean, we all know what it means for this year.
Okay, you have to answer that question. If you come out and say all that, so what does that mean for this year?
That means that, you know, people aren't probably going to watch and show up to the ballpark this year, and we're going to take a step back this year. I don't know. It's obvious what we're doing, so you might as well be honest about it. Yeah. Is that going to hurt the bottom line? Are those comments going to be used against you and played on radio shows like this one against you? Yeah, you're going to have to deal with that. If you think it's the right decision, then you have to deal with the you can't control the consequences. I know they tried to. You can't control the consequences. You can only control the decision-making. And once they made the decision, you have to live with it. So, yeah, people would probably stop going to the ballpark and stop paying attention to you. And we'd probably play audio to make fun of you. But at least you'd be honest. And I think long-term, maybe you can win people over with that.
All right. Well, we'll return to this. Billy Jaffe is going to join us next. We're going to talk some Bruins with him this morning. Dan Shaughnessy will be with us a little bit later on the program. But Billy Jaffe coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAA WorkTrucks.com.
It's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Out the center ice, and the buzzer sounds here at Madison Square Garden. The linesman trying to keep Brendan Lemieux away from a couple of the Bruins. As this game has gone final, the Bruins cascade off the bench to congratulate Yaroslav Halak. The Bruins record a 3-1 victory over the Rangers today to start a four-game road trip. They're going to head to Western Canada now, winners of 9 of their last 10.
Time to say hello to Billy Jaffe on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Maybe it's Volkswagen.
Could be.
Billy, thank you for joining us this morning. How are you, buddy?
Hi. How are you? Hello, Adam. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Tim McCone here, too. We were just discussing what type of vehicle you drive. And none of us know, but we have at least two different opinions here. I'm not going to tell you who said what. The sedan, and I'm going to say like mid-level sedan is one guess. SUV is another guess.
Yep. And did minivan make the cut?
Minivan did not, and truck, you know, pickup truck. Those are the three guesses. So your daily driver is what?
For 1 year, I had a car deal in Atlanta, and I had a pickup truck, and I got to tell you, I loved it, actually.
Yeah.
I loved it. You could move anything around in it, but it was also Atlanta. I didn't have a gun rack, but I can tell you that it fit in very well there. I don't have a pickup. I have a small SUV now.
Small SUV. You need a place for the hockey sticks, right?
Need hockey sticks, a few kids. Yes, I just got a new one. Got family that's involved with cars. One of my wife's family, so we go there for our cars. So it's great.
I had you figured as like a no nonsense, like, you know, import sedan guy. Yep. You know, put a lot of miles on it, but I was wrong. I lost.
Yeah, I'm not a real car guy. I mean, I'm happy to drive anything. give me something safe, give me something good. But, you know, I don't need a – I'm just not a fancy car.
No,
I do.
No,
like
you only went to college 45 minutes from the Motor City, the birthplace of the most important manufacturing product in the country's history. Why would you be a car guy?
I support one of those exact manufacturers. Yep. 45 minutes away from Dearborn.
You got
you
got any bumper stickers or anything?
Oh,
any flare like an air freshener or anything? You got any flare in there?
Yeah, how much flare on that Ford SUV?
We do need some air fresheners in here, given that there's often a lot of younger kids with hockey equipment and probably copious amounts of gas that come through here. But we could use that. But no, we don't. We keep it simple. I try to keep it clean, and it doesn't always stay that way.
Billy, before we get to the Bruins questions, and we may not have time, gloves smell the worst, don't they? Out of all the equipment, it's the gloves. Why is that?
Hand sweat. It's the material that's used on them. Even if you dry them out, they still get you never want to get the glove funk. If you get the glove funk, you're in trouble.
You got to burn them.
Good band hand name.
Yes.
Glove funk. Exactly. I listen to them.
You need to. My wife wants to wash my kids' gear all the time. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, stop. Like, nothing wrong with keeping it clean, but you got to spray them. And the truth is, if you're fortunate enough and you can either afford it or get two pair, rotate them in and out. They'll smell less.
All right. Does anyone have any hockey questions?
Money grows on trees at the Jaffe household. They got two pairs of gloves.
Yo, yeah, and new cars every other week.
Seriously.
From what it sounds like. Wow.
Come on. I'm getting paid so much for this segment right now. I can afford three pairs of gloves.
All right, we better get our money's worth. You have any Bruins questions for Billy?
Well, speaking of basic models, it seems like the Bruins like their basic model here. They don't want to do any upgrades. No outside moves or anything like this. Oh, Tyler Toffoli is in my hip pocket. Whoopsie. No, he's not. Well, are the Bruins going to do anything by Monday here, Billy?
Okay. Well, first of all, easy there. Second of all, they never said it was in their hip pocket. A writer from Canada said it was in their hip pocket.
Good writer.
I do. A great writer. Know him very well. Dear friend. I do believe they will make it. You know, I do, Adam. I think they will make a move. I think it will be a decent move before Monday's deal. Now, you can look at the Toffoli deal, and the give back for him was pretty darn significant. And I think I also think there'd be a lot of people, whether they're radio hosts or writers, whatever, that would say, geez, they gave up too much for a guy like Toffoli. But sometimes you got to put your chips right into the on the table and take the chance. My guess is I don't know if Tyler Toffoli is the type of guy that's going to resign with your team. But my guess is this. I think the Bruins make a pretty good move by the deadline. I would like to see him add. They need to add a forward, as far as I'm concerned. I think if I had my choice, I'd love to get a top six guy. Of course, everybody's been talking about that. Is that realistic right now? I don't know. Like Blake Coleman, is he a top six guy or is he a top nine? The kid that went to Tampa, you can make that argument. But what he does do is he really helps round out your top nine significantly. I thought that was a great move by the Lightning. I think the Bruins need to look to answer that. But you can't go crazy and give up too much to do something. You can make major mistakes at this time of year.
Now, if you don't make any moves at this point, this year, my fear would be, Billy, is that you're setting yourself up for what would almost certainly be the beginning of a down cycle starting next year. I don't know that Chara is going to be back. I don't know that you can expect more from Brad Marchand. He's already a top offensive player in the league, but this would be a hell of a place to plateau at, but I don't know that you can expect more from him. Pasternak, he seems to be getting better, but how much better can he get? So my fear would be if they don't do anything now and they don't start making some moves and start doing a little bit of a restructure now, you could see this window starting to close for this team.
I get what you're saying. Now, when you're talking about a restructure, I mean...
And restructure is too strong of a word. Just shoring up the ranks, that top six guy that you're talking about, things like that.
I would agree. I fully want them to make a move. I do. I don't want to see them give up, two major assets from their development core, though. I don't want to see that because of kind of what you're saying, that, they do need to keep the future in mind. I could go a lot of ways. I know we have a lot of time in this, but I would tell you that I think that if the team adds something, a legit top forward, and again, whether that's top six, top seven, whatever type player, I like their chances. I mean, look, I love what happened to them last year until the last game. They do need, I think, a boost to help them just to get through, you know, early rounds of the playoffs right now. I would keep my eye on teams like a Nashville, that they fall teeny bit out of it the next day or two. They could have a guy on their team that could help fit into your top six, top nine pretty well. I look at a team, I wonder about Anaheim, how much they're going to move. Keep your eyes on some of that. It wouldn't surprise me. Now, this is a bigger move. If they try and get somebody with a little term left, the name Kyle Palmieri is a good example. His name's been thrown around. I know Bruins have looked at that. I'm not sure the Devils will give it up, but Tommy Fitzgerald, the interim GM, made a pretty shrewd move the other day with both moving Blake Coleman and also Andy Green. Would he continue to do that with Kyle Palmieri and get a good return to help make his team better? I would see the Bruins giving up a little bit more to get a guy like Palmieri back. So keep your eyes on teams like that.
All right, Billy, we'll let you go. I'm driving around in that fancy SUV of yours with the glove stink in it. Glove funk.
I'm down in your neck of the woods. I'm about to walk into a rink to get my son off the ice. He's been at a little fun hockey camp for the last couple hours.
You're at the ice house or you're at the Sportplex?
The house.
Nice. Swing by and grab a cup of coffee over at the Hardy compound.
I could use one right now. It's cold in that rink, so I could use one, yes.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, if not beforehand, all right?
You got it. See you, guys.
See you, Billy. Thank you. There goes Billy Jaffe. Bruins not in action again tomorrow night until they visit Edmonton. What is it, Jones? You have a furrowed brow.
I thought, you know, never been offered any coffee at the Hardy household. I don't know about you, McCone.
You've never been...
I don't know about you, Louth, or you know.
Oh, Louth has.
Yeah, I've had a beer there.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, now we're offering out beers. I didn't
want to witness Hardy produce the final where Squeaky Maz, I believe, or Fuppets, one of the two, in his home office.
I didn't think I could possibly feel worse about not being offered coffee. Now we're offering out beers.
He was in the neighborhood. I just, you know, swing by. I'll give him the code. It's no big deal. You know, to tell him the stand down command for the dogs. And that way, you know, get yourself in. Otherwise,
look out.
Yikes.
Yeah.
All right. Brady news. Debatable if we should call it news, but some things to talk about regarding Tom Brady. Thanks to Tommy Curran and Peter King. We'll get to that next after Tim McCone's Hub Headlines here in 90 seconds, no commercials.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.